Share the screen again. All right. Okay. All right. So everything's okay. Everybody can see the screen. Okay. All right. So let's pray. Alvina Mocano, our Father, King, Father, we thank you. First of all, that you've kept everybody safe. Thank you, Father, for the technology that we can still connect and study your word together, Father. Even though we can't be there in person, Father, we just thank you that next week we will be, Father. I thank you that you give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and hearts to receive, Father, all that you have to say to us from your word, Father. In Yeshua's name, amen. Hallelujah. So again, to help you, I'm going to, when I'm reading a scripture, I'll pull the scriptures up so you'll be able to actually see them from the screen. I'll email you the notes as well, you know, and if I tell you it's an additional note, then you could write it down, because a lot of times when I do the notes and then I go over them, you know, another scripture comes to mind, so I'll write that in and, you know, change some things. So, okay, what we're going to do to start is, I just want to get out of the, go to the scripture. We're going to read the entire scripture from Hosea 4, 1 to 19. This is a Tree of Life version. It's a Hebraic version. Hear the word of Adonai, B'nai Israel. For Adonai has a dispute with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, no covenant loyalty, and no knowledge of God in the land. Curse, deceive, murder, steal, commit adultery. They practice violence, and bloodshed follows bloodshed. Therefore the land will mourn, and everyone dwelling in it will languish, along with the beasts of the field and the flying creatures of the sky. Even the fish of the sea will be removed. Yet let no one dispute, and let no one argue. Your people are like a Kohen who makes quarrels. So you will stumble by day. Also a prophet will stumble with you by night when I destroy your mother. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Since you rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being my Kohen. Since you forgot the Torah of your God, just so I will forget your children. The more they multiply, the more they sinned against me. I will change their glory into disgrace. They feed on the sin of my people and relish their iniquity. But it will be like people, like Kohen. So I will punish them for their ways and repay them for their deeds. They will eat but not be satisfied. They have fornicated but will not increase. For they stopped giving heed to Adonai. Prostitution and wine, even new wine, it takes away understanding. My people consult their wooden idol and their divining rods inform them. For a spirit of prostitution leads them astray, and they have been a prostitute out from under their God. They sacrifice on the mountaintops, on the high places. They burn incense under oak poplar and terebinth. For its shade, it's good. Therefore, your daughters are prostitutes, and your daughters-in-law commit adultery. Will I not punish your daughters for prostitution, or your daughter-in-law for adultery? For they consort with prostitutes, and they sacrifice with cult prostitutes. A people without understanding will be thrust down. Though you, Israel, are a prostitute, let Judah not become guilty. But do not come to Gilgal or go up to Beth Aven, and do not swear as Adonai lives. For Israel is stubborn like a stubborn cow. Now Adonai will pasture them like a lamb in the open field. Ephraim is joined to idols, let him alone. Their liquor has come to an end. They surely have practiced prostitution. Their rulers have deeply loved disgrace. A wind will wrap her up in its wings. They will be ashamed of their sacrifices. Excuse me. Okay, what we're going to focus on are basically three scriptures and what the prophet was dealing with them about was justice and righteousness. Okay, in this chapter, the prophet again reverts to his castigation of the people of his generation for their sins. His words are directed specifically to the citizens of the kingdom of Israel, the 10 northern tribes. Again, at this time, the tribes were split There was the southern tribes, which was Judah and Benjamin, and then there was the rest of the northern tribes. And he points a finger particularly at the Kohanim and the false prophets who have led the people astray. So again, it was due to bad leadership. They weren't leading their people correctly according to Torah. And again, rebuke starts with the leadership. Okay, so according to Rashi, the Kohanim were not the leaders of the revolt against the ways of Hashem, but rather its victims. I want to read a couple scriptures that as I was studying this, the Lord gave it to me. Again, we're talking about false prophets. We're going to look at Deuteronomy. Let me just switch the screen here. I'm going to go to Deuteronomy 13, 1 to 5, and this isn't in your notes, but I'll put it in when I send it to you. 13, 1 to 5. Okay, and this is regarding false prophets. Whatever I command you, you must take care to do. You are not to add to it or take away from it. Suppose a prophet or a dreamer of dreams rises up among you and gives you a sign or wonder. And the sign or wonder he spoke to you comes true while saying, let's follow other gods that you have not known and let's serve them. You must not listen to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for Adonai your God is testing you to find out whether you love Adonai your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Adonai your God will follow and him you will fear, his mitzvot you will keep, to his voice you will listen, him you will serve, and to him you will cling. So here, God, Yahweh is giving the criteria of what a true prophet is and a false prophet. A true prophet is always going to lead you to Torah and obedience. A false prophet, even if he has signs and wonders, if he's telling you, let's go follow other gods, he is a false prophet, and you are not to listen to him. So let's go back, go to the next slide. So here again, we're going to look at key verses are Hosea verses 1 and 2 and verse 6. So we're going to, again, be looking at these two scriptures and what, you know, God put on my heart and what the teachers of Israel were saying was the greatest sin. So verse 1 and 2, hear the word of Adonai, B'nai Israel. For Adonai has a dispute with the inhabitants of the land. Now this is the complete Jewish Bible. Because there is no truth, no covenant loyalty, and no knowledge of God in the land. Curse, deceive, murder, steal, commit adultery. They practice violence and bloodshed and follow bloodshed. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. You know, a lot of times, you know, people, they quote only that part of the verse, and they don't quote the rest of the verse. Can you hear me? Can everybody hear me okay? Okay. But the rest of the verse says, since you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you from being my Kohen. Since you forgot the Torah of your God, so just will I forget your children. Now we're going to go to Deuteronomy 6, because this is a scripture that came to mind. Deuteronomy 6, let me just, and we're going to read verses 4 to 18. And this is familiar because this is the Shema, the first part of the Shema. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Baruch Shem Kevod Melchuto, Leolam Vayed. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love Adonai your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These words which I am commanding you today are to be on your heart. You are to teach them diligently to your children and speak of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Bind them as a sign on your hand, and they are to be frontlets between your eyes. Now that's speaking of the tefillin. Right, yeah, the tefillin. And write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates, which is the mezuzah that we put on our front door. Now Adonai your God, and when Adonai your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you great and good cities that you did not build, and houses full of good things that you did not fill, and cisterns dug that you did not dig, vineyards and olive trees that you did not plant, and you eat and are full, then watch yourselves that you do not forget Adonai, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of slavery. You must fear Adonai your God and serve him and swear by his name. You must not go after other gods, the gods of the people around you, for Adonai your God in the midst of you is a jealous God. Otherwise, the anger of Adonai your God will be kindled against you, and he will wipe you from the face of the earth. You are not to test Adonai your God as you tested him at Massah. Diligently keep the mitzvot of Adonai your God and his testimonies and the statutes that he has commanded you. You are to do what is right and good in the sight of Adonai, so that it may be well with you and you may go in and possess the good land that Adonai swore to your fathers. So here Adonai has given them instructions on how they are to act in the land. Now this is from the book Trei Hasar. It says, the Almighty has the following contention to express to the inhabitant of the land of Israel. I gave you the land of Israel on condition that you are to pursue righteousness and justice. And that's what we're going to be focusing on. And I promise that if you do so, I will keep a watchful eye over you throughout the year. However, you have violated the conditions of our agreement, and I will therefore hide my face from you and bring destruction upon the land. No one acts honestly nor speaks truthfully in the land. And justice and righteousness are thus all but non-existent. Although there are still righteous people among the nation, they are but a small minority, engulfed beneath the tidal wave of corruption. So even in the midst of corruption, there was still a group of righteous people who did not, you know, succumb to this. But unfortunately, all the judgment would come, but, you know, God would protect the righteous, because we see when they were dispelled from the land, especially all the southern tribes, that there were many righteous that went into Babylon, like you have Nehemiah, Daniel, Ezra, you know, a lot of the prophets. But this is specifically speaking to the northern tribes. Again, although there are still righteous people among the nation, they are but a small minority engulfed beneath the tidal wave of corruption. And their presence is not even discernible within the abundance of falsehood. Since the people do not deal with each other honestly, they certainly do not practice benevolence beyond the letter of the law. You know, I just put a note, it's like, it looks like America today. You know, what is happening in America? You know, it just seems like evil upon evil upon evil. It seems to be the majority, but you still have that righteous core of people that are standing for righteousness. But because, again, we are engulfed beneath a tidal wave of corruption, our voices, it's hard to discern our voices, you know, and that's where intercessory prayer. And again, the way I'm dealing, you know, with these teachings is not just to look at it as history, but how, you know, do we apply it to our lives today? Because the prophets are speaking us today as well as believers. Thus, there is no knowledge or pursuit of Hashem's ways of justice and righteousness. In addition, no one seeks Hashem and the philosophical knowledge and awareness of his existence. Again, we're looking at justice and righteousness. And, you know, a big thing we see no justice and righteousness is the unborn. You know, they know, you know, there are groups that are crying out, you know, and fighting against us. But, you know, now you can kill a live baby. You know, what's next? You know, the elderly, if their hearts are hardened towards an innocent baby, you know, what is their heart going to be towards the elderly? Well, you know, they're not useful anymore. You know, let's pass the law that, yeah, we'll just get them out of the way. You know, you say, well, that can't happen. Well, who thought that full birth abortion would happen? Again, I believe that, you know, unless this is turned around, you know, there's going to be great judgment on this land because of the blood of the babies that are crying, you know, from this earth. And we're talking about, since abortion has been started, something like 43 million babies have been aborted. that's greater than, you know, any, you know, anybody that's been killed in the Holocaust or other things. It's like, and Roe versus Wade probably goes back maybe 20, 30 years, you know, and, but again, it's like, it's like stirring the body up, you know, this law. I mean, you can hear righteousness and, you know, crying forth and justice crying forth for these children. So we're going to look at some scriptures here. Let me pull them up on the screen. First, I'm going to go to Galatians 5, 19 to 20. Now, I like doing this because it's easier to go to different translations too as well, instead of pulling out all my Bibles here. Let's see. Now the deeds of the flesh are clear: sexual immorality, impurity, indecency, idolatry, witchcraft, hostility, strife, jealousy, rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. I am warning you, just as I have warned you before, that those who do not do such things will not inherit God's kingdom. So here again, Hosea, he's not talking to pagan people. He's talking to covenant people. He's talking to believers. Paul, when he is talking about the works of the flesh, he is not speaking about people who don't know God, because they're just doing what comes naturally. He's talking to believers who are, you know, letting the flesh dominate them instead of the spirit. We're going to go to Galatians 6, 7 to 9. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, it also he shall reap. For the one who sows to the flesh will reap corruption from the flesh, but the one who sows to the Ruach will reap from the Ruach eternal life. So let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we don't give up. Hallelujah. So again, you see it, you know, as I was studying Ephesians and Paul, you can see Paul teaches in a very Hebraic manner, where he gives, you know, a negative command and a positive command, you know, and he's telling us if we, you know, do not allow the flesh to dominate us, we are going to be victorious and we are going to be blessed. And then we're going to go to James chapter 2, or Yaakov, which is his Hebrew name. Chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. My brothers and sisters, do not hold the faith of our glorious Lord, Yeshua the Messiah, while showing favoritism. For if a man with a gold ring and fine clothes comes into your synagogue, and a poor person in filthy clothes also comes in, and you pay special attention to the one wearing the fine clothing, and you say, sit here in a good place, and you say to the poor person, stand there or sit at my footstool, haven't you made distinctions between yourself and become judges with evil thoughts? Again, this is an example of justice and righteousness. Listen, my dear brothers, didn't God choose the poor in this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor person. Isn't it the rich who oppress you and drag you into court? Don't they blaspheme the good name by which you are called? If, however, you fulfill the royal law according to scriptures, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, which is speaking about Deuteronomy chapter 6, you will do well. But if you show favoritism, you are committing sin and are convicted by the Torah as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole Torah but stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all. Now, as I was reading that, all of a sudden kind of like a revelation came about this scripture. Because a lot of people take that verse and say, see, if you break one commandment, you know, you have to keep them all perfectly and you can't keep the commandments. I believe what Paul is saying, that if you do not walk in justice and righteousness, it's as if you have broken the whole law. Why? Because love produces justice and righousness. So when you see it through that eyes, again, because the context, Paul is talking about how you treat a rich person versus how you treat a poor person. Okay, are you treating them, you know, they should be treated equally. In fact, if you really want to walk in righteousness, you should give the poor person the best seat and tell the rich guy to move, you know, sorry, you got to take the back of the bus. And, you know, but a lot of times, you know, we'll see, oh, well, he's got money. Oh, well, he can do this. He can do that. You know, but God says, no, that is not walking in justice and righteousness. And so this was the rebuke that Hosea had with God's people. Okay, let's go on. So I'm going to look at a couple of the Hebrew words. You know, I wanted to read one thing too before we go on here. Let's see. I'm just checking my notes. I had a note here regarding those two verses, the verses we've been reading. It says, although the Almighty sent prophets to impart his rebuke to the Jewish nation throughout the era of the first temple, the Kohanim who were designated to guide them misled them with false teachings. In addition, there were false prophets who claimed to be speaking Hashem's name, but also led them astray. Thus the people were confused and misguided, and they followed the false teachings of those wayward mentors. Therefore, they are portrayed as having been left with no recourse whatsoever to the wisdom of the Torah. Nevertheless, this portrayal is employed only to emphasize the guilt of the Kohanim, not to absolve the people from their sins. So, again, they both had a responsibility. The Kohanim had the responsibility of teaching the word correctly, and the prophets had the responsibility of prophesying correctly according to the word, according to what God told them. And the people were responsible to discern, well, is what they're telling us in line with what we know the word of God says? You know, so again, when we are listening to teachers, you know, online or whatever, we need to be discerning. We need to, know, this person that is teaching me, you know, what is their reputation? Who are they accountable to? Is what they're saying in line with the word of God? You know, that's important, you know, because there's a lot of slick talkers out there. I mean, there's a lot of godly people, but guess what? The enemy sneaks in as well. So here, again, they were saying that, you know, The rebuke was that Israel was not walking in justice and righteousness, and justice and righteousness is walking in obedience to the word. So we're going to look at the one word. The one word is Zadek, and we're going to look at some of these scriptures, not all of them. I just wrote the ones that we're going to, so even though they're all there, I just picked out a few that we're going to look at. Okay, the Hebrew word, it's a feminine noun meaning righteousness, blameless conduct, and integrity. The noun describes justice, right actions, and right attitudes, as expected from both God and the people when they judge. God came speaking justice and righteousness as a divine judge. The Lord's holiness was made known by his righteousness and judgments, and human judges were to imitate the divine judge in righteousness and justice. So we're going to look at some of these scriptures. You'll have the others, but I just picked out a few. We're going to look at Jeremiah 9:24 first. Days are soon coming, declares Adonai, when I will punish all who are circumcised and yet uncircumcised. So here, you know, what is he saying? Those that are circumcised, which means they are in covenant relationship with God, yet uncircumcised, meaning they are walking outside the covenant relationship with God. You know, God is a just judge, and he is going to judge according to his word. Let's go to Micah 7:9. And I will bear the indignation of Adonai because I have sinned against him until he pleads my cause and executes judgment for me. He will bring me out to the light, and I will behold his righteousness. So here, you know, here it says, again, trusting in God's righteousness. You know, when we're falsely accused or falsely talked against, we trust God that his judgment's going to come forth. And if we are innocent, he's going to vindicate us. Let's go to Isaiah 5:16. But Adonai Zevaot will be exalted through justice, and the Holy God consecrated through righteousness. And then verses 10 to 22, let's see. Actually, we're going to go back a little bit here. Okay, let's begin with the context here. Okay, verse 9. In my ears, Adonai Zevaot has said, surely many houses will be desolate, even grand and fine ones with no occupants. Again, this is regarding how righteousness and justice is used in this particular scripture. 10 acres of vineyards will yield 6 gallons, and an omer of seed will yield 1 ephah. Woe to those who rise up early in the morning so they may pursue liquor, who stay up late at night until wine inflames them. Harp and lyre, tambourine and flute, and wine are at their banquets. They do not notice Adonai's activity, nor see the works of his hands. Therefore, my people are in captivity for lack of knowledge. Again, that's just what we read before. My people perish for lack of knowledge. The honorable men are famished, and their multitudes parched with thirst. Therefore, Sheol has enlarged its gullet and opens its measureless mouth. Down goes her glory, her tumult, her roar, uproar, and the reveille in her. So humanity will be bowed down. Mankind will be humbled, and the eyes of the lofty humbled. And Adonai Zevaot will be exalted through justice, and the Holy One consecrated through righteousness. Then the lambs will graze as if in their own pasture, and nomads will eat in the ruins of the wealthy. Oy to those that drag, oy, that's kind of a Yiddish term, to those that drag iniquity along with the cords of deceit, of sin as with a cart rope. They say, let him hurry up and hasten to his work. So we will see, and let the plan of the Holy One of Israel draw near and come so we may know it. Oy to those who call evil good and good evil. I mean, that's what we see today. You know, we see the good being talked as evil and evil as good. Who present darkness as light and light as darkness, who present bitter as sweet and sweet as bitter. And then let's go to Genesis 18:19. For I have made myself known to him so that he will command his sons. Again, speaking to about Abraham. Let's begin at verse 18, or actually verse 17. Again, this is when God was about to judge, I believe, Sodom and Gomorrah. And when Adonai said, should I keep the secret from Abraham for what I am about to do? Seeing that Abraham will most certainly become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. For I have made myself known to him that he will command his sons and his households after them to keep the way of Adonai by doing righteousness and justice, so that Adonai may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken upon him. And let's go to Psalm 72:3. Let the mountains bring shalom to the people, and the hills righteousness. And then Isaiah 56:1. As you know, when I teach, I use a lot of scripture. I just don't give 2 scriptures and then, you know, talk. It's like, I, you know, faith comes from hearing and hearing from the word, and it's the scriptures that speak to our heart. Thus says Adonai, preserve justice, do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come, and my righteousness is about to be revealed. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Okay, also the word describes the attitude and actions God had and expected his people to maintain. He is unequivocally righteous. I don't know if somebody just joined us. Oh, James just joined us. Okay, just a minute here. Okay, let me get back here. Okay. Well, I see his name, but I don't hear him, so let's see. Okay, well, hopefully you can join us, so you can chime in here. Okay, let me see where I was at. Current slide. Okay, so again, we see this word, Zadok, Zadok, Dalit, Kof, okay, Zadok. Hey, Jim, can you hear us? Okay, can you hear us? All right. So the word Zadok means the attitude and action God had and expected his people to maintain. He is unequivocally righteous. Righteousness is entirely his prerogative. His people are to sow righteousness, and they will receive the same in return. He dealt with his people according to their righteousness and blamelessness. Faith in God was counted as righteousness to Abraham. Again, we read some of these scriptures. And you get the notes. You know, I recommend go over the notes and read these scriptures yourselves as well. And obedience to Yahweh's Torah was further evidence of faith that God considered as righteousness. So again, Hosea is rebuking God's people because their lack of righteousness was they were not doing according to what Torah said they were to do. They were mixing holy with the profane. He dealt with his people according to the righteousness. Returning a poor man's cloak was an act of obedience that was considered righteous and just before the Lord. So again, even as believers, when we find something, you know, we need to do all we do to get it back to the person it belongs to. You know, an example, you know, Scott's whispering in my ear here. We were at Aldi's and we got out of the car and he saw a wallet sitting on the ground. You know, so immediately we brought a woman's wallet. Okay, whatever. So anyway, we brought, you know, the wallet in and gave it to, you know, one of the clerks and say, hey, somebody lost their wallet. Now, somebody who is unrighteous would say, oh, let me see what's in this wallet. You know, it's like, oh. But a righteous person, again, will say, no, we need to return this to who it belongs. You know, the same thing if we find, you know, again, you to turn it in because that's the righteous thing to do. Jacob declared that his integrity, honesty, and righteousness would speak for him in the future to Laban. Again, we know the story of Jacob, how Laban deceived him several times, but Jacob always worked, you know, reacted with integrity according to Torah. The lives of people are to reflect righteousness and integrity. Even old age may be attained through living a life of righteousness. So let's look at Proverbs 16:31. Gray hair is a crown of glory found on the path of righteousness. Hallelujah. So again, you know, long life, you know, when we walk in God's ways and we trust him, you know, he has blessed us. He will bless us with long life. Hallelujah. I'm going to skip. Let's see. Okay, I'm not going to skip this one. I'm going to leave these. Let me just get this up here. Okay. The concept of social justice was expressed in ancient Israel and in the ancient Near East by means of Hendiades, the most common word pair. In other words, they're word pairs. You always find justice and righteousness together, righteousness and equity together. So again, righteousness and justice, Zadok u'mishpat. However, alongside this expression, we find righteousness and equity as well. They're word pairs. So let's look at some of these scriptures. We're going to look at, I'll just pull the screen up so you can see them. First one, we'll get Isaiah 11, verse 4. Okay. you know, really, it's like if you know, if you don't know God, if you aren't born again, or have a covenant, you know, with, like Israel, how do you really, you know, how are you able to walk in justice and righteousness? You can't. I mean, we see that in the world today. We see many examples of Israel, how, you know, they do things, you know, because the Torah tells them. What things do they do? Well, they'll help a wounded enemy soldier. They'll, you know, make sure that, you know, his wounds are taken care of. They go all over the world to make sure people that are, you know, destitute, or, you know, like floodplains or earthquakes or everything, they'll send a team out there, you know, to help them. It's an act of righteousness and justice. Why? Because that's in them, because that's the Torah. You know, that's how they're taught. And it's as us as believers, you know, that's how our actions should be as well. Let's see, Isaiah verses 11, chapter 11, verse 4. But with righteousness, again, this is referring to Yeshua. Let's begin with verse 1. Then a shoot will come forth out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch will bear fruit out of his roots. The Ruach of Adonai will rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and insight, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of Adonai. His delight will be in the fear of Adonai. He will not judge by what his eyes see, nor decide by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the poor of the land. He will strike the land with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Also righteousness will be the belt around his loins, and faithfulness the belt around his waist. Again, this is the picture of Yeshua, and this is also, you know, how he operated on the earth. He always operated in justice and righteousness. Example is the woman that was going to be stoned for committing adultery. You know, again, the leaders were trying to set him up, but Yeshua knew the Torah, and, you know, he knew in his heart that, according to Torah, it takes two to commit adultery, not just one. But they only brought the woman. Where was the man? Okay, so again, Yeshua was not breaking Torah. He was acting in the spirit of the Torah, in the spirit of justice and righteousness. Let's go on to Isaiah 33:15. One who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, who refuses unjust gain by extortion, who shakes his hands free of bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed, and shuts his eyes from looking on evil. Again, this is a person walking in justice and righteousness. He walks righteously. He speaks righteously. He doesn't, he's not somebody like, say, you're in a position of a judge. He's somebody that will not take a bribe to give, you know, a wrong judgment. He stops his ears from hearing bloodshed and shuts his eyes from looking on evil. Let's go to Isaiah 45:19. I have not spoken in secret in a place of a land of darkness. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in desolation. I, Adonai, speak righteousness and declaring uprightly. And then let's go, we're going to go to Psalm 99 now. Again, you'll have all these notes. So again, you never, you know, when you hear something, you don't necessarily hear it all the first time. You have to go over it and over it. And as you're going over it, the Ruach is going to give you more revelation of it, more understanding in your spirit. Here, Psalm 99 says, he judges the world in righteousness and governs the peoples justly. And then Psalm 58:2. And this is, again, speaking of God who judges the earth. Let's read the whole thing. Do you, for the music director, do not destroy a mechtam of David. Do you really speak of justice, O God? Do you judge with fairness, sons of man? No, in heart you devise injustice. Your hands weigh out violence on the earth. The wicked are strangers from the womb. Speaking lies, they go astray from birth. Their venom is like a serpent's venom, like a death's cobra shutting its ear, not hearing the voice of charmers or a cunning spellbinder. O God, break their teeth in their mouths. Tear out the fangs of your young lions, Adonai. Let them flow away like water that runs off when he bends his bow, like the arrows be cut off. Like a slug melting away as it slithers, like a woman's miscarriage, may they never see the sun. Even before your pots can feel a thorn, whether alive or ablaze, he will sweep the wicked away. The righteous one will rejoice when he beholds vengeance, and when he washes his feet in the blood of the wicked. Then men will say, there's really a reward for the righteous. There really is a God who judges on earth. Now, Revelation talks about the martyrs crying before God, saying, God, when are you going to avenge our blood? Well, there is going to come a time where all those that have been murdered for righteousness' sake, all those who have been, you know, killed and horribly murdered, which is happening today, God is going to bring vengeance, you know, on, you know, the blood that's been shed. Okay, let's go on. Some of this, okay, let's go. I'm not going to go through every detail of the notes. I'll send you back because I still have a few more pages to go. Okay, again, justice and righteousness can be defined more precisely in context as we see below. The term mishpat zadik, again, you read Hebrew right to left, so mishpat zadik, can refer to a character trait granted by God to the king. O God, endow the king with your justice, the king's son with your righteousness, that he may judge your people rightly, your lowly poor ones justly. Psalm 72, 1-2. God thus is said to grant the king justice and righteousness. Justice and righteousness are considered a sublime divine ideal in Psalm 33:5. God is said to love righteousness and justice. The 10th blessing and the 18 benedictions of the Shemot Ezri Amidah say, blessed are you, Lord, the King, who loves justice and righteousness. Whoops. There we go. I accidentally enlarged the screen. Okay. In another biblical verse, we find an explicit parallel between mishpat and zadak, justice and righteousness. On the one hand, mishpatim, equity. On the other, it was you who established equity, mishpatim, you who performed justice and righteousness, mishpat zadak, in Jacob. From this verse, we can also learn of the royal aspect of justice and righteousness. God is said to establish justice and righteousness and equity in Yaakov after he begins his reign and is exalted over all the peoples. The establishment of equity, justice, and righteousness is followed by the giving of decrees and laws through Moses and Aaron. So again, the Torah is God's teachings and instructions on how we are to live as his people. I'm going to skip some of this because you can just read it in the notes. Let me see. One, two. This one. Okay. I skipped a couple slides. So here we see that kindness and truth and mercy are found often in the Bible in conjunction with justice and righteousness. Let's just look at a couple of these. We're going to look at the Psalms and then Jeremiah. Again, going back in context, this is what God was rebuking the people. Hosea was rebuking them for because they have forgotten to walk according to Torah. They have taken on pagan ways. The Kohen had become, we're not teaching them the truth. The false prophets are prophesying falsely. The people were not being discerning and were listening to it. So again, God brings, the whole purpose of God bringing prophets is to bring his people to repentance. He says, I'm going to warn you. This is why you're being judged. you can avert this judgment if you repent. But we see as we study the prophets, you know, the majority of the time they did not repent. They just turned a deaf ear or just killed the messenger. That's like Yeshua says, woe to you, you know, Israel, that you killed the prophets. It's like, well, we'll shut them up. And if we shut them up, then nothing bad will happen. Not if God spoke it and you ignored it, you're going to reap the results. So let's look at Psalm 33:5. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the love of Adonai. So here we see kindness, truth, and mercy together. You know, God is a very merciful God. But I believe, you know, especially the days we're living in, I mean, we are, you know, all I can say is Bo Yeshua Bo. You know, we just see, you know, so much evil in the world, but his righteousness and justice will prevail. Let's look at Psalm 89:15. And these are scriptures that refer to his kindness, truth, and his mercy. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Loving kindness and truth go before you. Jeremiah 29:23. Let the one who boasts in this, that he understands and knows me. For I am Adonai, who exercises loving kindness, justice, and righteousness on the earth. For in those things I delight, it is a declaration of Adonai. And then again, Hosea 2:21, which is one of our the foundation scripture we're looking at in chapter 4. But he also says in Hosea 2:21, then I will betroth thee to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me with righteousness, justice, covenant loyalty, and compassion. So let me get back to the PowerPoint here. So the practical application of Mishpat Zadik accords with the usage of the term in an ideal sense. It refers to just dealing in a social sphere, particularly with the pair Mishpat Zadik, is found in conjunction with the concept of way or direct, the way to walk. The early believers, the first century believers, one of the terms they were known by was as the way. Okay, their sect was known as the way, those that walk in the way of truth, in the way of Yeshua. So we find the term in conjunction with direct. So they keep the way, direct, of Yahweh by dealing with righteousness and justice. Again, early believers in the book of Acts, which is the class we're going to be offering. We're going to be teaching the book of Acts from the Hebraic concept, and also according to how things happened, chronological order. So I think it's going to be a really good study. So we're probably going to start it in March. Just a little commercial there in between. Okay, let's see. Other verses also speak of the way or path of justice and righteousness. It talks about guarding the path of justice, protecting the way Darak of those loyal to him. You'll then understand what it is, just, Zadak, righteousness, Mishpat, and equity. Every good course, Proverbs 2:8-9. The path of equity for the righteous man, O just one, you make smooth the course of the righteous. Isaiah 26:7. They do not care for the way of integrity. There is no justice in their course, okay, which is just the negative. They make their paths crooked. No one who walks in them cares for integrity. That is why justice, Mishpat, is far from us, and righteousness, Zadak, does not reach us. Isaiah 59:8-9. And Psalm 23:3 says, he leads us in the paths of righteousness. Okay, we're getting towards the end here. Hallelujah. And then we'll have like a discussion time. This is James, or Yaakov, beginning chapter 2, verse 1. Actually, I already read this one, talking about how we treat a rich person versus a poor person. So I'm going to skip that. I already read that. Oh, let me see here. Okay, Hosea 4:6, again, my people are destroyed for want of knowledge because you rejected knowledge, what? Rejected his Torah, rejected his teachings and instructions. I will also reject you as Kohen for me because you forgot the Torah of your God. I will also forget your children. Now, this is a quote from Trey Asar. Again, this is the commentary we've been using for this study. I don't know if you can see it. Okay. My nation, again, this is comments from the sages. My nation has been rendered silent from any words of wisdom, for they are bereft of the knowledge of my ways, which comes from the Torah. For you, the Kohanim, who are entrusted with the responsibility of transmitting my wisdom to the nation, have spurned my knowledge and refused to learn it yourselves or teach it to others. The Torah was entrusted in your hands, Kohanim, for you to teach it to the entire nation. Yet you have forgotten and neglected it, refusing to teach it or instruct the people in accordance with its statutes. This was an indictment against the priest, whose duty it was to act as guardians of God's law, Torah, and to furnish religious instruction. That last quote from the Archaeological Study Bible. But again, that applies to us today as well. Here, God, again, as we're reading the prophets, the rebuke is towards his people, covenant people, his leadership, because they were not doing what they knew that they should do. I'm going to end here. Let me see. Malachi 2:7, a Kohen's lips should safeguard knowledge, and people should seek Torah from his mouth, because he is a messenger of Adonai Zevaot. But you turned away from the path. You caused many to fail in the Torah. You corrupted the covenant of Levi, says Adonai Zevaot. Therefore, I have in turn made you contemptible and vile before all the people, because you did not keep my ways, but you are partial in applying the Torah. So let's look at James or Yaakov. So put away all moral filth and excess of evil, and receive with humility the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deluding yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in a mirror. For once he looks at himself and goes away, he immediately forgets what sort of person he was. But the one who looks intently into the perfect Torah, the Torah that gives freedom and continues in it, not becoming a hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he shall be blessed in what he does. Amen. So he's talking about, you know, you're reading the word and you're studying the word and you know that this is what God tells you to do. Then the minute you're out in public or at work, you forget what God has said and you act just the opposite. But he says we are to look intently upon that word and be a doer of that word. That word needs to follow us in every aspect of our life. If anyone thinks he is religious, he does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart. This person's religion is futile. Pure and undefiled religion before our God and the Father is this, to care for orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Then Ephesians 4:11-16. He himself gave some to be emissaries, such as prophets, some as proclaimers of the good news, and some as shepherds and teachers, to equip the kedoshim for the work, or the kedoshim means holy, set apart ones, for the work of service, for building up of the body of Messiah. This will continue until we come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of Ben Elohim, the son of God, to mature adulthood, to the measure of the stature of Messiah's fullness. As a result, we are no longer to be like children, tossed around by waves and blown about by every wind of teaching, by the trickery of men with cunning and deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all ways into Messiah, who is the head. From the whole body is fitted and held together by every supporting ligament. The proper working of each individual part produces the body's growth for building up in love. Last but not least, the words of our Messiah. And I'm going to do look at this, and I'm going to do the New American Standard on this verse here. Okay. And actually, you know, this is a rebuke again he's giving to the scribes and Pharisees, who what? They were the leaders of Israel. They were the teachers of Israel. But you can take the same thing that Yeshua is saying here and apply it to the body of Messiah today, those who are pastors and teachers and, you know, prophets as well, that are, again, speaking contrary to the word. Yeshua's rebuke to the leadership is still applicable today, today's leadership in the body of Messiah as well. Yeshua was a part of the Pharisee group. He knew them well. He knew the teachings of Shammai and Hillel, and we know that 99% of the time he agreed with the school of Hillel, and again was reminding them of their responsibilities as leaders of Israel. You know, Yeshua didn't mince words, okay? Here we see him operating as a prophet with his rebuke. Again, they were the leaders and teachers of Israel. Then Yeshua said to the crowd and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds, for they are saying things and do not do them." So in other words, Yeshua said, respect their seat of authority, respect the teaching they're teaching you from the Torah, but don't do what they're doing. In other words, they were teaching the Torah correctly, but they weren't living it. They were doing just the opposite. But don't follow their examples. So here he says, they tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. So again, a lot of these burdens were additional oral commands. Again, an example, if you study, you know, some of the oral Torah and some of the additional instructions, they had over 1,000 laws concerning how to keep Shabbat. Again, they were additional laws, and, you know, Yeshua, you know, telling them, hey, you're putting all these additional, you know, laws on them, but you're not willing to do them yourself. You're putting all these burdens on them, but you're not willing to carry the burden yourself. Again, he's speaking to the leadership, okay? But they do all their deeds to be noticed by men, for they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen their tassels. They love the place at honor at banquets and the chief seat in the synagogues, and respectful greetings in the marketplace and being called rabbi by men. But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher and you are all brothers. Do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father who is in heaven. Now, the context of this, again, that verse gets taken out of, you know, context all the time, because you'll hear people, especially who are new, don't have understanding to Judaic background or history, they say, see, you're not supposed to call anybody rabbi. Rabbi in Hebrew simply means teacher. Okay, what Yeshua is saying, you are not to be one who wants to have the best place, to have everybody recognize you. In other words, you have a bad, big head, you think you're a movie star, you think you're a celebrity. He's saying, you know, you are to walk humbly before, you know, before God. And we see that a lot today, you know, in ministry, you know, people that want the spotlight instead of humbling themselves, you know, before God and being a servant. To be a leader is to be a servant, okay? It's not to be, yes, you should teach leadership with respect, but leadership needs to treat their people with respect as well. It's a two-way street. Okay, but they're not to be bowed down and worshiped and treated like some kind of celebrity. Oh, can I have your autograph? It's like, no. It's like, you know, we are servants. In fact, we are supposed to be in the lowest position. We are in a position of authority only because of the anointing. And we only have that anointing as long as we are teaching the word and being led by the Ruach. But again, we are supposed to be servants. And our example of that is Yeshua. So here again, he's rebuking them. Again, the purpose of rebuke is to bring repentance. So he says, but the greatest, he says, do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, Messiah. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself shall be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. But woe to you. Now instead of saying scribes and Pharisees, I'm going to say woe to you, you know, evangelists, pastors, you know, prophets and teachers, okay, because and make it bring it to today. So really today, if we're, you know, talking to us as leadership, let's just make it simple. But woe to you in leadership, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people, for you do not enter in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Now again, he's speaking to those who are hypocrites, not doing what the word said, not to the true teachers. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, or again, leaders, because you devour widows' houses, and for pretense you make long prayers, therefore you receive greater condemnation. Again, they're not acting in justice and righteousness. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, because you travel around on sea and land to make one a proselyte, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much as the son of hell as yourselves. In other words, they're not training them to be righteous proselytes. They're trying to make somebody in the image of themselves. Okay. You fools and blind men, what is more important, the gold or the temple that sanctifies the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, that is nothing. But whoever swears by the offering on it, he is obligated. You blind men, which are more important, the offering or the altar that sanctifies the offering? Therefore, whoever swears by the altar swears both by the altar and everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears both by the temple and by him who dwells within it. And whoever swears by heaven swears both by the throne of God and by him who sits on it. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, quote, leaders, for you tithe mint and dim and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of Torah, justice and mercy and faithfulness. In other words, justice and righteousness. Because that is really the core of Torah. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the other. You blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites. For you clean the outside of the cup of the dish, but inside they are full of robbery and self-indulgence. In other words, the outside looked holy, but the inside was full of corruption. You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup of the dish so that the outside may be clean also. So we see that holiness and cleanliness starts from the inside out. Okay. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they are full of dead men's bones and uncleanness. Mm-hmm. In the ancient Near East and Israel, during the time of Yeshua, they would paint the tombs and the tombs white so people wouldn't accidentally step, you know, so they'd be able to see them better and step on them. Okay, so again, to make them more noticeable. But here, but you know, inside, that's the example he's giving. Yeah, your tombs are nice and white and washed on the outside, but on the inside, it's dead man's bones. If you know, you're the walking dead, in other words. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. See, God always sees our heart. We can fool people, but we can't fool God. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, if we had been living in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partnered with them and shedding the blood of the prophet. So you testify against yourself that you are sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of the guilt of your fathers. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how will you escape the sentence of hell? Again, Yeshua didn't mince words when he was dealing with the leadership, dealing with those who should have known better. Why? Because Yeshua, you know, walked in the righteousness and justice of Torah. And he was rebuking them. Again, what was the purpose? Always the purpose of a prophet rebuking his people was to bring them to repentance. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how you escape the sentence of hell. Therefore, behold, I am sending you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify, and some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, so that upon you may fall the guilt of all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of the righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, whom you murdered between the temple and the altar. Truly I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. Again, Yeshua is referring to that particular generation. Not every Jewish person who's ever been born, he was speaking to this particular group of scribes and Pharisees that were, you know, again, at that time, there was, you know, there was many scribes that we studied the book of Acts, as many of the priests believed in Yeshua. But Yeshua is rebuking the ones that needed to be rebuked, okay? Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. Again, prophesying the destruction of the second temple. For I say to you, from now on you will not see me till you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So I just want to end again going back to the beginning here. Oops. And then I'll unmute you guys.